still working on the counterculture series. And the topic that Pastor Bruce has, when he asked me this, we're looking at different topics. And one of the topics that, it's a heavy topic, but it's gender identity, gender confusion. And just a big issue that it is today in this world. So we'll look at what the Bible says, and we'll look at how clearly it's not confusing, but we'll see how it has become confusing to some people. So we'll look at that. So, but anyways, let me just start out by saying that God loves all people. He loves every single one of us. He loves everybody in this world, and that's why he sent his only begotten son to die on the cross for our sins. And when Jesus died on the cross, and then when he was buried and he rose again 3 days later, he defeated sin. Death has no more sting, the Bible says. And what an amazing thing is, and the purpose of the church is to help those from a biblical response, from a biblical perspective. And there's two views that we see in today, is a secular worldview or we see a biblical worldview. And a lot of those perspectives is how it affects how we live our life today. So why has gender identity become such a critical issue with the culture today? The very fact of there only being two genders, male and female, has been placed on the table up for a debate, and to say that there are more than two genders. First and foremost, the reason why this is such a big issue is because Satan is the one behind this confusion. The Bible says in John chapter 8 and verse 44, it says, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father he will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 33, it says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints." This issue is not just a small issue that is taking place in our world. It is a very big issue. And honestly, it shouldn't be an issue at all. It's pretty obvious what's male and female. But this has become an issue, and we're dealing with it today. As Christians, what are we supposed to do with this crisis, this cultural controversy? I mean, this issue is not just affecting us personally, but it affects everybody in this world. We see that this gender identity is going into the workplace. There's government is starting to make it where the employment, the job, the workplace has to provide an insurance to allow people to be able to get their gender reaffirmed or changed, to be able to get that surgery. And we see that this is affecting all kinds of things. We see it in our school systems, especially public school systems. And it's in our news, it's in our media, it's in sport teams. I mean, we've seen this on the news especially with swimming. Some of the ladies that are swimming, they're having to face a man that has transitioned into a woman. And you see that there's biological men that are now identifying as a female and is beating women in racing, lifting weights, and all these different things. And we see that it's in our governments with first responders. It's with big tech vehicle companies. We see vehicle companies are, the one thing I can think of is the new Ford Ranger came out. They had, were showing that they agreed and was lifting up this woke idea of the LGBTQ movement. And I mean, we see with our clothing brands, we see like with Target, we see it with like the company Patagonia. They'll put the rainbow flag on their socks or on a t-shirt or something like that. And we see in hospitals, we see in clinics, we even see it in churches. There's churches, even some churches that will have the Baptist name, that are okay with someone that is a male that identifies as a female, to be in leadership or something like that. It's everywhere. And then this crisis is not just something that has stayed in the closet, but is literally being pushed out into your face, and you're being forced to deal with it. And the thing is as Christians, we're not supposed to just let it go by. And honestly, me teaching on this subject, I could probably get in trouble for it. I mean, it's very possible I could be arrested. It's very possible anybody could be arrested for just preaching the Bible. And we've already seen this take place in Canada. Pastors are being put in jail because they're preaching so-called hate speech. The Bible is not hate speech. During the national football game of the Super Bowl, they had a commercial that talked about how Jesus is accepting of all people. And they showed all these different things of racism, transgender, and homosexuality, and all these things that Jesus is love. Jesus accepts these things. That is not what Jesus is. Jesus preaches against sin. What did Jesus do when they were defiling the temple? He kicked tables. It made him upset. It made him angry. And the thing is Jesus preaches against sin. He doesn't preach hate. What does the Bible say in John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God died for all. He defeated sin for all. There are two perspectives when it comes to how we view this world. We see that there are Christians that have a biblical view. We see the world through what God sees, that we are a sinner in need of a Savior. And then you have a secular worldview of where you try to do the best you can. It's all about you. It's all about me. But the thing is that's not the right perspective. In the book, The Gathering Storm, Albert Moher said, "The Church of Jesus Christ faces an unprecedented challenge today. The collision between the church and the new sexual ethic. A collision between revelation and revolution." And we are seeing today is a revolution against God's revelation. God is the creator. He is the designer. We don't have a right to change what he created. The movement that is taking place all about is changing. It's a complete reordering, a complete change of society and a civilization. This LGBTQ movement is literally infringing on people's freedoms of thought, freedoms of religion, and freedoms of speech. This is not only a demand of respect towards this behavior, but a demand of agreeing with this behavior. Their movement is not just to have the freedom to do this, but they want you to agree with their wicked, sinful life. The Bible says that we're all sinners, and so this behavior, this immoral behavior is a sin just as much as lying is a sin. The Bible says that homosexuality is an abomination. And like all these sins, they have consequences. In 1828, Merriam-Webster Dictionary says gender is a noun and it means a sex, male or female. The definition of sex is a distinction between male and female. In the book Well-Versed, the author James L. Garlow states that Merriam-Webster's dictionary defines gender as the state of being male or female, and the sex is defined as the state of being male or female. Today, if you were to look up the definition of gender and the definition of sex, it'd be completely two separate things. They say gender is not male or female. It is whatever you feel. It is whatever culture has pressed upon you. It is whatever you feel. It is based on your environment. And the definition of sex today is still either your biological male or female, whatever you were born with. And scripture clearly states that the definition of gender and sex is the same. It's clearly obvious. And we can see just in how Merriam-Webster's dictionary has changed over the years, they've either changed something. Back in 1828, it was gender and sex was male and female. And then 2016, when James Garlow wrote the book, it said the state of being, male or female. And then now it's saying whatever. There's all these different definitions, and it's, you can just see how God's word has stayed true. Malachi 3:6 says that God is immutable. He's unchanging. But we see just whatever man's definitions or anything we see in society is it changes over time. Whatever God says here, man might say something different, and then years later, man will say something even different from what they believed a few years ago. And that's what we've seen take place today. And the Daily Beast defines sex as the biological, but gender is more about how you feel today, which that's hogwash. And it's just a horrible thing. But anyways, let's look at our first point is God's design. If you take your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. When you're in Genesis 1, say amen. That was pretty quick. I'm impressed. If you ask probably a bunch of Bible college students, they probably wouldn't say that quickly. So just ask Brother Reese. Just kidding. But anyways, Genesis chapter 1, and let's look in verse 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have a dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Verse 27 says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." And look at, let's jump to verse 31. "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning of the sixth, there were in the sixth day." God is the one that created, imagined, designed, implemented all of creation. He is the author, and no one in this world has the right to change or manipulate his very own design. God's plan in creating male and female is very distinct between the two, but they're also to be a complement to one another. They're complementary to one another. Men and women are equal in God's image, but they are very diverse in their design, and it's clearly obvious. Just the structure, the bone structure of a male and a female is completely different. The body parts are completely different between a male and a female. And even in your DNA, God has embedded your chromosomes to determine whether you're male or female. Now, I know all of us know this, but this is something that our youth and people are my age and people your age, all ages are struggling with this nonsense. I mean, it's clearly... You could just determine by facial hair if that's a male or a female. I mean, it's obvious. The structure of the jaw, the structure of your arms, the legs, and just... It's completely obvious. There's a complete distinct between the two genders, male and female. The Bible says that we are made in His image. And that means that we are made with an intellect, we are made with emotion, and we are made with a will and a moral sense. And that is one way that men and women are equal. The way we think, the way we have a will and intellect, and how we determine what is right from wrong, that moral compass that is within us, is God's own image, and we are created in His image. Another way that men and women are very equal with one another is by their spiritual eternal destination. We both are in desperate need of a Savior. One is not more righteous than the other, and not one is more wicked than the other. We're both sinful. We're both wicked in need of a desperate Savior. in our creation, but also a spiritual need of our Savior. And I mean, I just said that already, but men are equal in these matters. In John, 1 John chapter 2, verse 2, it says, "And he is the propitiation of our sins, and not for ours only, but also for all the sins of the whole world." Jesus died for all, men and women, equally. He died for all. Galatians 3 and verse 28 says that there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. As God was creating the world, he repeatedly declared that his work was good. And but at the end of the sixth day, as we read in verse 31, he said, after he created male and female, he said it was very good. God said it was very good. When God created us in the Bible, He created us lovingly and with a soul, and he made us with a purpose. Psalms 139, verse 13 through 16 says, "For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which is the continuance, were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them." God clearly states that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And he says a marvelous work. A marvelous work. It doesn't say it's a good work, but a marvelous work. God loves each of us so individually. He created us, we have a soul. And our soul has a destiny. And he knew us before we were even in the womb. God knows so much about us. He knows so much more about us than we even know of ourselves. And that's not surprising, because he is the one that created us. He's the one that designed and created us with our own personality. And it's sad to see that there's people that can't even understand who their identity is. As a Christian, we know that our identity is in Christ. But these people that are so confused, and they're being taught from the influence of social media and TV and all these different things, they're being influenced, and there's causing them to, like, I'm confused. I don't know if I'm a boy or a female, because this is being implemented into them. It's being brought up. And the thing is that that's all behind Satan. Satan is the one that causes confusion. These people don't have the truth, and it's our job to give them the truth. God said it was a very good thing that he made male and female. It was a marvelous work, fearfully and wonderfully made. Christians would rely on what God's word says. The world would rely on what science says, and normally science would line up with the Bible, and it was just late in determining their answer. We can see in the beginning of time that the Bible said there was so many stars, uncountable. But back in the day, science said you can count all the stars. And then eventually science now says you can't count them. Science proves what the Bible has already said. As even what Pastor Luke said this morning with archaeology. Archaeology proves what God has said already in his Bible about the different civilizations that have been found. And we know that science even says that there's male and female. There's no other gender at all. And the Bible says that... I lost my train of thought. I found it. I found my train of thought. It kind of just like went down the railroad for a little bit, but I was able to catch up right back to it. But God created male and female to have their own roles. The very distinction between men and women are so vital. And the thing is that this world has a pragmatic view. And this pragmatic view changes all kinds of things. The pragmatism is saying that it's your truth, but not my truth. what your truth is works for you, but what my truth is works for me, and which is completely false. Prager University, they scribe that how this is being implemented into political correctness, but they also mention that whether it is political correctness or not, it's still wrong. The idea that gender identification is now a personal choice might sound enlightened to some, but is actually a very anti-scientific view of one of the essential facts of life. Men and women are inherently different. Their brains are different, their hormones are different, their chromosomes are different, and their bones are different. This is just a fact, a clear, obvious fact when looking at a male and a female. No amount of or peer-reviewed papers from gender study departments can change this. Prager University also mentions that the longer we allow the obvious to go unstated and undefended, the worse it will be. The longer that we don't take a stand for what is truth, the worse it's going to be. As Brother Luke was saying in his message, is the longer that you're in sin, you get more comfortable with sin. The more comfortable you are with it, you're more vulnerable to more sins that are coming into your life. And that is what's taking place. It's the influence of all over the place of the public education. We see that God designed us. He is the creator. He is the designer. He is the one that is allowing you to breathe. He is the one that is allowing you to be able to see, to be able to feel, to touch, to be able to walk, or to even have a body. God has allowed you to have a life, and how precious is that life to Him? And it's just amazing that Satan just can destroy what God has already created. The second thing that we see is Satan's lies. Go to chapter 3 of Genesis. We saw that God designed us, but then we see in Genesis chapter 3, Satan's lies. Let's go to verse number 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. That is not what God said. We see that Satan just subtly, he just changes a little bit. And that causes this confusion. We see that Satan lies to Eve in saying that God is holding something back from you. See, if you do eat of this tree of knowledge of good and evil, you could be as the gods. And that is so false. And Eve has in her mind that God is holding back something from her. And she's deceived, and then Adam falls into the sin as well. We see that the truth of God's word is changed from just a small little lie that Satan implemented. In 1939, just before the outbreak of World War II, Germany and Russia signed the Molotov-Ribbentrop Pact. I'm having a hard time reading words this evening. But the treaty promised that neither nation would attack the other, and it laid out a plan for how they would divide the nations of Eastern Europe between them. Yet in 1941, without warning or provocation, Adolf Hitler sent his tanks across the Russian border in a sneak attack. Hitler had no interest in keeping his word. The treaty was meant only as a temporary measure until he could do what he wanted. The devil will tell you anything you want to hear to get you to do what he wants you to do. He is a master liar. In fact, Jesus declares Satan to be the father of all lies. Can you imagine Jesus of all people just giving the title of the father of lies? Can you imagine having a title like that on your own back? But the devil breaks every promise that he makes. He never delivers what he leads to expect. While sin may be enjoyable for a little, rather, it always leads to a bitter end. Hebrews 11 verse 25 says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Satan, from the very beginning, tries to make us think that God is withholding things from us. We see this in Genesis 3 with Eve, and Satan came as a serpent and instantly approaches Eve, subtly changing the word of God, causing her to question the goodness and truthfulness of God toward her and Adam. And this is what we see today in gender identity. John 8:44 says, "Ye are the father of the devil, the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth." There is no truth in Satan, he speaketh the lie. These lies are not just attacking adults, but is attacking a child from a very young age. Satan causes gender confusion, and transgenderism is not just changing one's sexuality, but is literally redefining humanity. This issue is all behind Satan, because Satan is there to destroy whatever God has created. God is the one that ordained marriage. And we see that Satan is saying that it's okay for a male and female, or male and male, to be together, and a female to be together. And the thing is, this world did not create marriage. God created marriage. And nobody can change what he has already created. And Satan is going to try. Because that is what Satan's all about doing, is trying to destroy what God's creation. How is he going to do that? He's going to get into our homes. He's going to get into our public school education, any type of education. He's going to get into the government, because all these different things is what influences us. And whatever influences us is how we determine how we are going to behave. The third thing that we see is man's vulnerability. We first saw God's design. We saw Satan's lies. But thirdly, we see man's vulnerability. In September of 2019, the Supreme Court of British Columbia, Canada, ordered that a 14-year-old girl receive testosterone injections without parental consent. This court also declared that if either of her parents referred to her using female pronouns or addressed her by her birth name, they would be considered guilty of family violence. As previously reported, Maxine was encouraged by her school counselor in British Columbia Delta School District to identify as a boy while in the seventh grade. When Maxine was 13 years old, and Dr. Brendan Hirsch and his colleagues at the British Columbia Children's Hospital decided that Maxine should begin taking testosterone injections in order to develop a more masculine appearance. The wickedness of Satan. Getting into a family and making it where the parents can't even have a say in their own 14-year-old girl. And the story talks about how the mother is like, okay, let's just go with it. The father didn't have the consent at all. And it's this huge issue that took place. You see this taking place all over in Canada, but it's even taking place in America. Many people are trying to make it where parents can't have the say of what their child is being taught in schools. There's public education that's making it where these, like, kindergartners are being shown books of immorality. And it's wicked. Showing them what to do with a male or what to do with a female, and things that take place outside of marriage. How defiling and wicked has this world become because of Satan's lies? The thing is, man becomes vulnerable if he is not filling himself with truth. People that are unsaved, they don't have the truth of God's word. And when you don't have truth, that makes you vulnerable to Satan's temptations. Without the truth, man is vulnerable, and he can be deceived by Satan. And Satan's all about changing God's design, and man has become rebellious towards God. If there's no truth in someone's life, there's no fear of God, there's no presence of God, then there is no moral restraint or moral conviction in that person's life anymore. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 and verse 21. Romans chapter 1, and starting in verse 21, it says, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like a corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to the uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up to the vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust, one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet." We see here in Romans 1 that there's a forsaking of God. There's a rejection of God with these people. And when you reject God, they rejected God as the Creator. They rejected God as being God, and we see that all of a sudden that they began to worship idols, false gods, pagan gods, and not worshiping God himself. And we see that they're worshiping the creation and not the Creator. And we see that from this rejection to the forsaking of God to a worship of idols, to a worship of creation, and then we see that they become immoral in their behavior, doing vile things. And God says, okay, if you're not going to, he just lets them be. It said that God, in verse 26, "For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections." They rejected God, they rejected truth, and this rebellious act comes into play. I know this is very heavy. I'm studying and I'm like, this is a little rough. Not a little rough, it is rough. It's a hard topic, but this is something that we're facing. If your kids or grandkids are in public schools, they can be open to this. Even in rural town America that's full of conservatives, the public education can still and is still trying to bring false doctrine, false teaching into play. We see years ago that they removed the Bible and prayer time from public education. My parents remembered that they had a time where they can open up their Bible and read God's word in the morning. They had a time where the principal would pray over the students. My parents remember that, and they got rid of that. When you start getting rid of God, when you start getting rid of his truth, what's going to fall into place? Something that's not truth. We even see with Christmas, when it comes around Christmas time, they start taking Christ out of Christmas. And now it's Xmas. Christmas is not about gifts and everything. It's about Jesus Christ being born so he can die on this world to save us of our sins. And it's just horrible what is taking place in this world today. But praise the Lord that he wins in the end. Years ago, the world struggled with the philosophy of modernism, which was the breaking down of traditional culture. In other words, an act of rebellion. However, modernism is not an issue in today's modern society. Today's culture is being affected by postmodernism, which is the philosophy of relativism, skepticism, and subjectivism. The problem with this is that the majority looks at truth with a pragmatic view, and it becomes very dangerous. Pragmatism is saying what works for you, but what works for me, and it's my truth versus your truth. So with this ideology, the rules and laws, and especially God's law, becomes no longer the standard or the foundation to stand upon. Truth becomes subjective and no longer objective, and this is merely how gender has been identified with subjectism. And the thing is, whatever we fill our entertainment with and is how it's going to affect us. Social media, we can see Satan's using social media so much with TikTok, and I don't have TikTok at all. I'll tell you that for sure. But with Instagram and Facebook, all these social media platforms. And with social media and even in movies and music, it's bringing into place immoral things. So we see back in the day, it was you couldn't cuss on television. You couldn't cuss at all. You couldn't say a cuss word. And if you were to look at, like, in the movie with parents, they were in two separate beds, two twin beds, the mother and the father. They couldn't be together in one bed in a scene or anything like that. We see that they were also covered. There was no loose coverings on people in the first films and things like that, but those things have downfallen. Pornography is all over the place. And pornography is the whole thing is becoming a huge thing. You can now, there's a thing that I've heard about called OnlyFans. And it's this wicked thing where people can go and subscribe to it and do a monthly fee to watch immoral things. And these young women that are teenage girls and any age are becoming rich from this wicked, sinful lifestyle. And it's disgusting. And those influences get into our youth, and it changes everything that they think. It changes their conviction. It changes their right from wrong, their moral compass. Man has become vulnerable to Satan's temptations just to fulfill their lust. 1 John 2:16-17 says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." According to the National Institution of Health article published back in September of 23rd, of 2022, 1.4 million Americans identify as transgender. There are 332 million people in America, and 25 million people worldwide identify as transgender, and there's about 8 billion people in this world. This movement is getting bigger and bigger and is affecting our lives. And according to the Recovery Village, it states that the gender identity and recognition typically begin between the ages of 2 to 4 years old, and stating that some will begin gender dysphoria or start around puberty. Up to 50% of people with gender dysphoria attempt suicide, and 26% of people with depression and anxiety begin to have these issues. And the world's idea to fix these issues of people that are confused in their gender is to give them gender reaffirming surgery, changing their gender. That's wrong. That's not the reason. The thing is that it's such a hard subject. There's so much on this topic. But according to the UCLA School of Law, Williams Institute, nearly 1 in 5 people who identify as transgender are ages between 13 and 17. 8% of people in the U.S. are of ages 13 to 17, and 18% of that identify as transgender. One thing that is hard to get an accurate percentage rate too is there are individuals who have gone through this transgender transitioning and surgery and everything, and they are regretting it. And you're not going to really hear so much on the news, but there's a detransitioning. There's young individuals and people that have gone through this transition, and they're like, and they regret it. They know that there's something that's not right with it. And the thing is that their body has been mutilated. This same ideology is the same ideology of the Chaldeans and the Babylonians. And Pastor Dean Miller preached a message to the youth conference at West Coast Baptist College a couple years ago. And you look at Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were Hebrews. And they were brought into bondage, brought into the Babylonian Empire. And what did that Babylonian Empire do? It made them eunuchs. Daniel was the prince of the eunuchs. Literally changed their identity. They changed their names from a Hebrew name to a different name. They changed, they told them that you need to believe in these false gods, our gods. And then they were to eat of their meat and their food. And you see, this thing was to change their identity. What God gave them, that is taking place today. This ideology is to change whatever God has given to us. And it's so sad, but praise the Lord, we have the truth. We have the truth, and we can live on the truth. First Corinthians 15, verse 30 says, "Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners." Psalms 1:1 says, "Blessed is the man that walketh walketh with the righteous." Those that don't walk with the righteous are going to fall to wicked things. But how do we as Christians, how do we deal with these things? We need to guard ourselves. Clearly, we know what truth is because truth is living within us. Jesus Christ is the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you have Jesus Christ in your heart, you have the truth. Rejoice in that. Believe in it. But guard ourselves. Guard your families. Guard your children. Put on the whole armor of God. It is so important that we are in daily in Scripture and we're reading about what God says. Let's see, where's my phone? I was going to read what Pastor Bruce wrote about on how to respond to the Olympic opening ceremony. Pastor Bruce said, "The opening ceremonies for the 2024 Summer Olympics recently took place in Paris. What was put on display at this event in open view for all the world to see was nothing short of wicked and antichrist. Amidst many subtle the most blatant of them all was evil, replication of Leonardo da Vinci's famous painting of the Last Supper, portrayed by cross-dressing men, vile women, and even little children on live television. Though I didn't see any of this live, I was most certainly appalled by it after all, and I discovered what had taken place. On one hand, it should really come as no surprise watching this lost world act out in such a way, yet these particular acts display an open attack against the truth of God's word and the tenets of Christianity. This was nothing short of a parade to celebrate a worldwide defiance of the one true God. When I first witnessed all this, though it grieved my heart, I determined to keep my thought to myself. Then I read Jeremiah chapter 20 in my devotions this morning, where the prophet said, 'I will not make mention of this, of his, the Lord's name, nor speak any more of his name, but his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay.'" Jeremiah 20, verse 9. Upon reading these words, the Spirit of God convicted my heart. No, I cannot be silent about this open defiance of my Savior and my God. From initial look, there are several outrageous and openly anti-Christian acts that took place at this opening ceremony. These evil acts include the transgender mockery of the Last Supper, the golden calf idol, the depiction of the Greek god Dionysus, whom the Greeks viewed as the god of wine, festivity, and ritual madness, and the pale horse from the book of Revelation. To make matters worse, the ceremony began with a dark figure literally soliciting children to come with him to observe and to participate in all these horrible things. Young children were involved throughout the whole program. Some were even seated amongst the drag queens at the mockery of the Lord's table. In the face of such sinister confusion, the Bible gives this stark warning: "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, and put bitter for sweet and sweeter for bitter." Isaiah 5:20. God does not mess around when it comes to such things. The scripture says, it's another place, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Galatians 6:7. Pastor Bruce has a biblical response, and it says, and he says, whenever we encounter evil like this in our world, what should our response be as believers? He says, let me suggest several biblical responses. Number one, speak up. The Bible speaks of the church as the pillar and ground of truth. It is the responsibility of Bible believers to stand for the truth. If believers will not communicate the truth, nobody will. We speak the truth about evil of our times so that the lost souls will be convinced of their sinfulness and turn to Christ for salvation. We speak the truth to influence our world for good as salt and light. We speak the truth to encourage all believers to stand for what God says is right. If your family and your community of faith and your workplace, on your social media, and in whatever other venue God would lead you to, courageously communicate what God's word says is right. Number two, share the gospel. Every time we witness the depravity of this world without Christ, it should renovate the desire within our hearts to share with others the gospel of Jesus. Ultimately, our outcries against the evil taking place in our time will not change our culture. The only force that has the power to affect that kind of change is the gospel of Jesus. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, 2 Corinthians 5:17. However, God may open the door of opportunity. You can seek to use this circumstance as an opportunity to share with someone the good news of how Jesus came to save us from our sinful and make us new. Number three, there's hope in Jesus. The things we witness on the national stage serve as a stark reminder of the fact that Jesus is coming again. The Antichrist emphasized and the display of the pale horse remind us of the soon coming time of tribulation that is to be ushered in this God-rejecting world. While this is somber truth for those without Christ, it is a truth that brings hope to those who trust in Christ. While this world may try to make a mockery of our Lord today, there's a coming day when God will get the last laugh. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. He that sitteth in heaven shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Psalms 2:1-4. That was what Pastor Bruce said on this whole matter. And how is our response? Is there any comments or questions or anything like that? I know it's heavy. Yeah.